Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing, religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. Did that get everybody angry, Doug?
What, the heterosexual part?
In one intro statement, hey, did you see Rocky? Remember the Rocky movies?
Oh, yeah.
They're coming
out me?
With another one. Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, Rocky. Right.
It's true. It's in the Hollywood News, Hollywood Reporter. Rocky yeah. Six.
Rocky Six. Yeah. What? Rocky takes on what? Alzheimer's? No. Come on.
Doug.
The geriatric Rocky. Jim. Sly Stallone.
So anyway, that's Rocky Six. So we're all looking forward to that.
You're making that up.
No, that's true.
No, really?
And in the palette, that, yeah, but. There's not much you can say about it, but it's true.
For whatever that's worth.
And in the Palestinian Authority, you know their economy's falling apart.
Yeah, it's not going well.
No, when you decide to pick a fight against someone who's a lot stronger than you,
yeah.
You pretty much don't have much of a future.
Yeah, things don't go well.
Things get bleak. If you're gonna pick a fight with somebody who's way stronger. So anyway, they can't pay their cops.
Oh.
In the West Bank.
Yeah.
And so the cops, you know, what could you expect them to do? They've turned to shakedowns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're shaking down the local businesses, and they become gang members. They've joined the gangs, the cops have.
Unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable, actually. These are Palestinian Authority police, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, well.
So they're inherently terrorists, and if you don't have a Jew to shake down, well, just shake down an Arab.
Shake down an Arab.
Right. So,
oh, man.
Hey,
I've got the story on that, Bob, from the World Tribune.
Oh, you do?
I've got the whole story.
And then we'll go right to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So what story? I just saw
well,
the headline.
Well, just that this is an organized network of gangs that has evolved now as the Palestinian Authority has tumbled and fallen.
Right.
And they do all kinds of stuff, shaking down businesses, extortion, deception. They sell illegal drugs, forge documents, seize cars and land, and help businessmen destroy their enemies for money.
Yeah, we were in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, and went through the back door of a Palestinian gift shop up onto the roof to look into the Temple Mount because it's been closed since the Intifada started.
Right.
And, you know, there were a few explosions in Jerusalem while we were there. But so we're looking in on the Temple Mount.
Yeah.
And the owner of the shop, the Palestinian, he got so angry because some of our group went to the Palestinian shop next to his and bought something there. We thought he was going to shoot us over that. That's unbelievable. What kind of a culture is we got going on?
Well, this is, and you know, this story, the sad story out of the PA is yet another example of how poverty leads to crime. These poor guys didn't get paid.
That's right.
No, that's sarcastic.
Yeah, right. Terrorism leads to crime.
All right.
Okay. Somerville, Georgia. We don't have an affiliate in Georgia. Frank, speak your mind.
Good evening, sir.
Hello, Frank. You're on with Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney.
Reverend Enyart.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure tonight watching cable TV, Fox.
Yeah.
To see you on that cable, a show that dealt with a corporal or otherwise regimen and punishment of children.
Right.
I had a lot of trouble, sir, tracking you down.
Oh, you
privileged to be able to do it.
Frank, you really did a good job.
Bob, for other people who see you on television occasionally, maybe Frank could clue them in on exactly how he tracked you down to call you in on your live show.
That's right, because tonight I was invited on the O'Reilly Factor. In fact, Doug.
That's where I saw you, sir.
Yeah, it was barely an hour and a half or so before the show. And they called and said, would you talk about this wacko family in California that's really mistreating their son, trying to discipline him? And so I know that it's really O'Reilly's fault that the kid is a terror because O'Reilly is against spanking. And all the liberals in the country who are against spanking are messing up our kids.
Reverend, you're quite correct. That's what the wisdom of your reasoning is what attracted me to track you down, sir, at this moment.
Well, it's an honor, Frank, to have. Where is Somerville in Georgia?
It's around 50 miles south of Chattanooga, Tennessee, sir, in the
right
corners of Alabama, Tennessee, and Georgia.
Well, that sounds great.
And, of course, from my accent, you probably know I came out of New York originally.
I was going to say.
It's a giveaway.
Well, that's so great. Frank, how did you track us down? Because what did they put up there? Bob
they
Inyart.
Gave me nothing, sir. But I'll be quite candid about this. I was so impressed with your presence and the logic and the wisdom of your statement that I heard Denver Bible Church, and I wrote it down as fast as I could, and I heard your name, sir.
Then I
checked information, and I got a Bob and a Esther Inyart.
Whoops.
She informed me it was a wrong number.
That poor lady.
She was quite gracious. I said, "That's okay, ma'am. I'm sorry I bothered you. I'll try the Denver Bible Church." And I did, and I got a gentleman on. I said, "I need to convey what I felt was a meaningful message to the Reverend Inyart. Whether I speak to him or not, it didn't matter. Just so he knew that there was one person that likes to dwell in the realm of logic that agreed totally with his premise."
Well, Frank, it's very encouraging to hear from you all the way in Georgia. I want to thank you.
It's my privilege, sir.
Thank you so much for calling in. And, hey, we're on the web. Do you ever get on the Internet?
Yes, sir, I do. I'm computer literate, but when my daughter's home, I sure do.
All right. Well, tell your daughter we're at KGOV, KGOV.com.
I've got this, sir. Repeat it one more time.
KGOV.
Like
government. KGOV.com.
Yes, got it.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
Reverend Bob, I appreciate it, sir.
Appreciate your call. What a nice guy, Doug.
Frank.
And it was
all right.
That was fun. It was enjoyable going on O'Reilly. You know, my wife Cheryl, she says, "What's the sense? These talk show hosts are such morons."
Yeah,
you know, O'Reilly is such a liberal, and we say, "But it's not for him; it's for the audience." We try to reach that one person who has just a shred of common sense.
Exactly. Yeah. And what you got to Frank out there, and you know what that means. You got to hundreds and hundreds. There's literally dozens of people watching O'Reilly at any one given time.
That's true.
And you reached, if one person called, you reached 100.
Oh, really? Yeah. O'Reilly is actually the number one cable show.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Right?
I make fun of O'Reilly.
Well, you should.
He's big time.
But, you know, I try to, whenever the few times I go on that show, I try to clue in the audience that O'Reilly is a liberal.
Yeah.
Because so many of his audience members, they think he's a conservative.
Sure they do, yeah.
And so at least I got out tonight on the show that, you know, liberals like him are against spanking, against the death penalty, for homosexuality, for evolution. I wanted to add for abortion because he's all those things. He's a liberal.
Yeah.
And so that's why he's against spanking. And it's his fault because he has more influence than most Americans.
Sure.
It's his fault that kids are a basket case, are basket cases, because they don't get spanked anymore.
Now, just lay out for us in a nutshell what these parents in California, when we get back from the break, I just want to get a brief overview of what happened on the O'Reilly Show. You can call in and participate, 1-800-836-9278.
Listener-supported radio right here, Bob and Inyart Live. Doug, thanks for helping out.
Yeah. I mean, Bob, how could I refuse opportunity to be on the show? You just come off O'Reilly. You come rolling into the studio. People calling in from all over the country.
Yeah.
Reacting.
We have a lot of fun here, and we can do this show because of the support of the people in the audience.
Yeah, and we need that support.
And without that, you know, we're thankful. We get on O'Reilly, and we talk about spanking and a little flogging.
A little flogging,
taboo.
You mean? Yeah.
And we get to present the truth, the biblical message, just the truth, the traditional family values, morality that people need to have healthy families.
Right. But without this broadcast, we may not get those opportunities. So we need – how many more people do we need in Denver, Bob?
Well, just in Denver, we have a 2,000 a month shortfall.
Right.
And so we calculate it. I went to public school, but I figured it out anyway. About 20 people at $100 a month pledge would help fill that gap. And we're up to 11 now.
So we need some more folks to sign up. Call with the 888 number. Is that what they call?
800-8-N-Yart.
888-8-N-Yart, 800-8-N-Yart. Call and support the program. Keep Bob Inyart on the radio in Denver so that he can continue to have this impact, this ministry all over the country.
And this is the strongest radio station, Christian radio station in the country.
Oh, it's huge.
KLT.
Oh, yeah.
50,000 watts. 670 AM in Denver. So if you help us stay on our flagship station that strengthens the show, we'll be able to stay on Information Radio Network and cities around the country. And maybe even, you know, in February, we're going to the NRB.
Oh.
In Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we get to see the Opryland.
Yeah, or Flats and Scruggs and all that.
Yeah.
Plus, you support this show, Bob Enyart Live. And the show's a kick. That's the bonus.
Yeah, and we hope to get on more cities. So if you can call us, 1-800-8-ENYART, and help out with a monthly pledge, we'd be thrilled.
Pledge your support.
So, now what do we got here? We're going to go to the phones when we get back from
the
commercial
break.
Right,
we're on a commercial break right now.
Yeah, but when we get back onto the show and out of the break, we'll go to Rochester, New York, and then South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, they're lining up, see?
All right, but for those tuning in on the web or on Best of Bob,
yeah,
some people get Best of Bob, and that's the 8 best shows of the month.
Right.
For $49.95 a month, we mail them to your house.
Right to the in the privacy of your own home, you can listen to the Bob Enyart Live show.
Yeah. And
what a great way to support the show.
And people get to, you know, they get a great show on whatever it is, spanking, evolution, Mormonism, and they give that a copy of that. They loan it to a friend.
Yeah.
They've been talking about evolution
mm-hmm.
or whatever, the deity of Christ or whatever topic we happen to talk about. So if you sign up for the Best of Bob, the monthly albums, the sermons, it all helps out. All right, Doug, we got an instant message here from a Tina who said, sorry to say, Bob, but I think you've lost it.
Lost it?
And that's all she said, so I'm instant messaging her back.
Yeah.
Is that a verb?
Instant messaging, it is now.
All
welcome
right.
to the new millennium.
And I said, call in, and I gave her the 303. I gave her the number that she'll get in even faster than the 800.
The secret, super secret backdoor red bat phone number.
303-463-7789.
Yeah.
So, because it's too hard to have an actual conversation on instant
messaging. Yeah, anyway. We got callers lined up. I don't know how we're ever going to get to any other topics beside the O'Reilly appearance. But before the show ends, I want to talk about Lot. We have to get to that.
All right.
But let's go to the phones.
We'll talk about Lot.
We'll talk about later. It at some point.
In Rochester, New York, 800-8-ENYART, Ira, speak your mind.
I think that the topic of Lot is good, especially when his wife turns to a pillar of salt. That's the topic.
Ah. Well, why don't we talk about Lot right now then?
Why not?
Because what did he do that got him into so much trouble?
Well, I think if I follow the story correctly, and I'm not familiar with all the aspects.
No, you followed it correctly, Doug.
Basically, you know, he moved into a wicked city thinking that he could live there and that it wouldn't rub off on him.
And then his two daughters got him drunk, right? And he impregnated both of them.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think
so. He's in a mess.
I don't think they've delved that far back into his history at this point.
They didn't go that far. They went back to 1980. They didn't go back all the way to the episode with his daughters.
I don't think they uncovered quite that much.
Ira Lot is in a mess.
Yes, he is. But I called actually not to complain or to brag.
Yeah.
But to prove your point is correct.
Which?
That my brother is Bernard Goldberg. He wrote the book Bias, the CBS News correspondent.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Bernard Goldberg.
But he is a liberal himself, but he looks like he's a conservative compared to the rest of the liberals in the world.
Right. And that book Bias, he's from within the media, and he's talking about the bias in the media.
Yeah.
And
he himself is a big-time liberal himself.
Bernard Goldberg is your brother?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Could we get, Ira?
We'd love to have him on the show.
Can I get an autographed copy of that book? I'll pay for it.
There was only two. I got one and Doc Wolf got one.
Oh, man.
So, Ira, are you saying that a similar...
I'll get you one, though. Go ahead.
Ira, are you saying there's a similar situation with O'Reilly that he looks conservative only because he's in a cesspool of such liberalism?
I couldn't have said it better. That's why you got him there, Bob, because he knows how to put these things in. He could...
That's right. Doug just puts it right in a thimble.
That's exactly correct. My brother is a never voted for Republican. It says in his book he never voted for Republican.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe in the spanking. He believes in sitting down and talking like the good old father in those best days.
Yeah.
You know, when you could do that kind of stuff. He doesn't. I mean, he believes in abortion. He believes in everything that's ungodly. But
he must be. Is he against the death penalty?
Of course.
He's pro homosexual.
Oh yeah.
Pro evolution.
You got it.
Yeah. So he's a liberal. He's socialist.
Right.
Right.
Cookie
cutter welfare.
Liberal. Yeah.
But compared to Dan Rather, he looks like a conservative.
Exactly right. Because he's not raging,
and, you know,
flaming liberal.
This guy in Denver, he's a real well-known activist, Jason Troyer.
Mm-hmm.
He has a poster in his window at his home, and it says, Jesus is the standard.
Amen.
So some guy will, his wife will be complaining that he's a lousy husband, and he'll say, look, the guy next door gets drunk and beats his wife. I don't do that. You should be happy. What do you mean I should be? Jesus is the standard, not Dan Rather.
That's right.
So your brother's in trouble.
Oh, big time. He's the Rushdie of the family here.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
You know, we don't stand near him. We get shot.
Yeah. Right. You know, God is a right-wing God.
Yes, he is. He is
a right-wing.
And he reigns from heaven above.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you somehow get me the address, I'll talk to Bernard this week and I'll get your book.
Ira, stay on the line, okay, because we want to get your information so we can stay in touch.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you so much, Ira. That's pretty neat. Wow. Bernard Goldberg's brother.
Are you buying that, Bob?
Yeah, I am.
I am, too. It's kind of had the flavor
because
of reality.
Because Ira mentioned Dr. Wolf. Dr. Wolf is very well known in the Rochester area, New York.
Oh.
And he said he got an autographed copy for Dr. Wolf.
Wow.
So unless Ira's buying copies and signing them and saying to my brother and his pals, I bet you it's true.
Yeah.
And so anyway, maybe we could get Bernard on the show.
Yeah, that would be fun. But didn't you make fun of his book?
No, I don't think
you
did,
but only of the title. You said that he was... How could you write a whole book on something so glaringly obvious as the media bias?
Oh, yeah. I think I said that about Colt. What's her name?
Maybe it was Coulter's book.
Ann Coulter.
Which was another book exposing the liberal media bias.
Yeah, right. And she came on the show and she would get so defensive. She came on a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
She was on the show the day her book went to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And she gets so defensive, and I'm just saying, Ann, don't you think conservatives know that liberals are liars? That's not what my book is about.
Okay.
All right. She's a nice conservative.
Oh, she's great. She did a wonderful job on the show, too.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, do we want to – I guess we covered the lot. A lot's been done. Anyway, we're hearing enough about that on the media. But
yeah.
So I'll leave the pillar of salt questioned. I'll just leave it aside.
Yeah.
Altogether.
Yeah, because his wife went back, right?
Well, I don't know. I find it seems a little mystical.
Have you ever been to the Dead Sea?
I have.
You know, the five cities of the valley, the five villages of the valley that are mentioned in the Bible, do you know that archaeologists have found evidence of those five cities? And just like the Bible says, and this is some of the earliest historical accounts in the Bible.
Right.
This is at the time of Abraham.
It's way back.
There ain't no records back then, hardly.
Right.
But sure enough, they find this ancient document mentioning the five cities of the plain.
Hmm. Really?
And it's pretty obviously the same five cities of the plain mentioned in the Bible right there on the south end of the Dead Sea. And you know the destruction that the Bible describes happened to those cities.
Right.
And you go there to this day and, man.
I'll tell you, if there was ever a Bible story that really struck home, when you see the Dead Sea, that whole region, you think, boy, it really looks like God got mad and just desolated this
place. And the pillars of salt and the sulfur falling from the sky.
There's a lot of pillars of salt there.
Fire and brimstone.
Right? There are pillars of salt, literally.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
And so, anyway, the Bible story.
And they might have found one of those towns under the Dead Sea. But at any rate, next time we go to Israel, people in the audience, you got to come along. It's fun.
Yeah, it is great. Yeah. It is great.
All right, should we go back to the phone?
Yeah, you'll relate better to Lot.
South Bend, Indiana. Viola, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob and Doug.
Hi, Viola.
Hey, I wanted to say I'd love to go with you to Israel.
Oh.
I don't know if I can, but I'd love to.
Well, when we do, we'll give you a long notice.
Okay, good. Great. I'll become rich meanwhile.
Yeah, well, we're going to wait till after the war, we think.
Okay.
At least.
Anyhow, what I wanted to say, a couple things. I called last night and talked to Nathaniel, but he couldn't get me in. You went off.
Okay.
Before I get in.
All right.
I want to say a few things. Okay. I called the Larry Bates show.
Larry Bates,
I talked to Jerry Janowski.
Jerry Janowski used to work in for LaCie Broadcasting.
Yeah, he used to work for you, I think, or, you know, when you were on.
Well, that's right. He was the sound engineer on our show for years,
show. He's no longer with LaCie?
No,
he's now with
IRN, Information Radio Network, at their headquarters in Memphis.
Moving up.
So I got him, and he recognized my voice.
Oh, great.
And so we talked. Okay, anyhow, I want to tell you, I believe in spanking. I spank my children. They all love me.
Oh.
In fact, today I'd be in jail for, you know.
You would.
But, yes, you would.
And I want to say from last night, welfare is bad. It destroys people.
Mm.
And it is a place of the family to take care of their own.
Right. In the Bible.
It's a place of the church people to help each other, you know what I mean, so they don't have to be on welfare, like, you know, help their neighbor.
Right, exactly. That's
but
why
not the, if they're lazy.
Yeah, that's why the Bible warns people don't give ongoing support if there's family members, because then the family members will not help their own mom.
Right, I agree.
So welfare is destructive.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And George W. Bush wants the churches to give it out now.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I did not vote for George. I told you before. And the reason I didn't vote for George is because you told me you can't vote for the lesser of the two evils.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I didn't.
Very good.
Well, if George W. Bush, you know, if Al Gore was cold and George W. Bush was lukewarm.
Yeah. Right. To me, he, and the main reason I didn't vote for him, his father, I didn't like his father.
Oh, his father is a terrible liberal.
He's going to be like his father.
Pro-abort. I think George Bush, George W. Bush, Bush Light, I think will probably end up appointing more pro-abortion judges than his father did.
Right.
Wow,
that's
that,
my guess.
That's a pretty tall order, too.
Yeah.
His mother, George Jr.'s mother, was for abortion.
Oh, yeah, and still is, if I'm not mistaken.
And right. Okay, Barbara
hey, Bob,
Bush.
I won't keep you any longer. I want to tell you, I got some good stuff to send you.
All right, send it.
And I'm going to send you some literature.
Thank you, Viola.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate that.
Hey,
Barbara
know,
Bush is a pro-abort.
Yeah, she's a pro-abort.
So is Laura Bush. She wouldn't say it until after the campaign. She was so coy about it before. And then after the campaign, she said, oh, I support Roe v. Wade.
What's that? She was one of the daughters? Or
no, the wife.
Oh, the wife.
Laura Bush.
Oh, okay. I figure his daughters probably are, too. I don't know.
No.
We haven't heard any public statements from them?
No, not the Lushes, the wife.
Okay. Now, she mentioned welfare, Bob.
Yeah.
We've got an interesting welfare story ripped from today's headlines.
Yeah.
Actually, yesterday's, but from the Associated Press out of San Francisco. Listen to this headline. San Francisco cracks down on the homeless.
Oh, they do?
Isn't that a strange headline to read?
Yeah.
I thought San Francisco was the refuge of all homeless derelict losers.
Right. If you build it, they will come. San Francisco built plenty of homeless shelters.
Right. And so there they are.
And you can never build enough. It's just like with prisons.
Exactly.
You never build enough.
People
if you build it, they will come.
Well, listen, in San Francisco, they're finally drawing the line. There's been a decision made. There's been a measure passed to cut monthly cash allowances for the homeless.
Come on.
From
homosexuals are morons.
No, homeless. Homeless.
Oh, well, I mean the ones
homeless.
In charge.
Oh, you're talking about the
homosexuals are in charge of the city of San Francisco, and they actually give cash disbursements to the homeless?
The homeless in San Francisco receive cash allowances up to $390 a month.
And they drink it all in the first 3 days.
Well, no. The $390, you've got to be a heroin addict to get that. The alcoholics get, you know, a couple hundred a month.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they're cutting all allowances to as little as $59 a month.
That's violation of some UN conference.
Well, and right now, the $59 a month, only the paint sniffers qualify for that. But pretty soon, even the heroin addict's going to have to get by on just $59 a
There's
month.
There's some UN convention that's got to violate.
Yeah. Well, it violates, you know what? The homeless advocates, that's who are violated now. The advocates for the homeless, they're upset. They say that they're just trying to push the homeless out of sight and out of mind.
Right.
I'm not. All right, let's go on to another story.
That's funny.
Let's see.
Instant message here. Gentleman says, I spanked my kids twice today, and I think that I will do it again before bed. So I'm responding here. Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Oh, that brings up, I wanted to ask you a question about spanking, Bob.
Yeah.
Because my daughter's 16 months old.
Okay.
And I recently gave her first real painful spanking.
Yeah.
It was painful.
We do like a flick on a flick on the arm or on the backside or a little swat with a few fingers.
Yeah, this was
on the backside.
Yeah, yeah. It was something similar to that.
Yeah.
Right? But I used an implement, a device.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And a little flick for a little sting.
Little flick for a little sting.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you more when we get back.
All right. We're going. All right, we're back.
And now this commercial is on the internet only.
Yeah.
For our internet only audience commercial.
This show is where the host has to save the co-host.
Right. Keep him out of jail. My goodness. Well, we'll get back to that when we get back on the air.
Yeah.
But right now, let's talk about the monthly Bible study albums. How's that whole product line going? I know you just announced that.
We did, and it's quickly beginning to compete with the monthly Bible studies.
All right.
Because people tell us they prefer the albums. In fact, a lot of people sign up for the monthly Bible studies are switching to the albums.
Switch to the albums. You can hand them out.
Yeah, you get more tapes.
Oh.
And they're organized. You build a little library.
Right.
Instead of having a few hundred tapes loose.
Yeah.
That's got to be a pain in the neck.
Yeah, that can be a pain.
So at least they come in a little, you know, a plastic book.
Yeah, nice little booklet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. And what's your latest album that's available right
Romans,
now?
Romans Volumes 1, 2, and I'm looking at our staff.
3 is not
comes
quite
after
out
two?
Of the editing.
3 is being edited.
3 is being edited and remixed, digitally remastered, something like that, right?
Yeah, so 3 is about ready.
So 3 volumes in Romans, that's got to be exciting. What
it
a great book.
It was fun.
Wow.
That was a really dramatic Bible study. People are telling us the feedback is just, we're thrilled with it.
Yeah, I thought you answered one of the big questions that I've always had in that Bible study was, what about the person who never hears the gospel? You know, people always ask you about, what about the guy in the deepest, darkest jungle who never hears the gospel? You Christians
you
believe he's
Watts?
Going to hell. No, not
South
Watts.
Central LA?
No, not South Central. East St. Louis.
Well, okay.
No.
East St. Louis, where they've never
where
heard
they've
about
never...
Jesus.
No,
they don't that... read the English language. Never heard of the King James.
Well, you've heard the question, though, right? It's a rhetorical question that they ask. But it's people who hate God. They try to discredit God by saying he would send the man in deepest, darkest Africa to hell, even though he never heard the gospel.
Right.
But that question, and we're not going to give the answer here in this commercial.
No.
But there's a wonderful answer to that question
it
taken
fun,
from the pages
it?
Of Romans. It's awesome, awesome.
It is so much
you
fun.
You can stump the next atheist God-hater who throws that question up in your face. You can make him look like a fool
right.
using the Word of God. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
What a great Bible study.
It is fun to have answers in the Bible. It's a big book, and it's filled with a lot of answers. So we go through that Bible book after book after book, and people interested sign up for the monthly album.
Yeah.
And every month they get an album.
And you know, you start them out with the foundation of the plot series, understanding the plot of the Bible.
Plot, the law of Moses, which is one of, our most enjoyable studies.
And then just book after book.
And then
it's
the
great.
Tree. We talk about miracles and healing in one of those albums.
Uh-oh.
It's a lot of fun.
It's Bob Enyart live on the Information Radio Network and here in Denver at KLT, the Mighty 670. I'm Doug McBurney, co-hosting with Bob, and almost, Bob, thank you so much for reining me in there.
Yeah.
I started to tell a story or to ask a question in public that could get me in a lot of trouble and I could end up in jail.
Well.
Because it regards disciplining your children.
Yeah.
And Bob, if I publicly were to advocate disciplining my child or anyone else's child, I'm putting myself in danger. Social services, you know, there could be a social services wench driving in her Subaru.
Some vampire.
Listening to this program, yeah. And she hears me ask you a question about disciplining and raising my daughter. Suddenly, I got the goons kicking in my door.
That could be.
So,
and, you know, they like to take away kids.
Yeah, they do.
They do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the government, a lot of people, even conservatives, don't think through this. If the government does something wrong, is it more or less wrong than if a regular criminal does it? Like, let's say a criminal robs somebody of $1,000,
right?
Or the government robs you, or a criminal murders a Jewish family, or the government does it. Who bears more guilt? Or an individual enslaves a black man, or the government does it?
Well, just on its face, it would strike me that the government would bear more guilt.
Yeah, right. The government is more guilty because it's doing it with the authority that God has given to parents.
Mm.
Like if a kid entices another kid to commit a crime,
right.
The kid is guilty. But if a parent entices one of his own kids to commit a crime, the parent is far more guilty. Because he's using the authority that God invested in him as a parent.
Hmm.
And so when the government commits a crime, so if the government takes away kids unjustly, like good, loving parents spank their kids,
sure.
And the government takes away the kids, like they did to Cheryl and I, we lost custody of our 4 kids.
Right.
They took away our kids. We thank God they didn't go into the worthless foster care system, but they went with ex-spouses.
Right.
But if the government takes away kids, that's kidnapping. If they do it unjustly. And the government, on Judgment Day, these judges and social workers and prosecutors, they're going to be in a heap of trouble unless they repent.
Yeah, they'll be held accountable to a high, and they'll bear more guilt than the average kidnapper.
Right. And you know who's going to judge them in a few of their cases? My wife, Cheryl.
Oh, man, look out.
She's going to throw the book at them. And she's got their names embedded in her memory. And she has not forgiven them, and she will not forgive them, like Jesus said, unless they repent.
All right.
And if they repent, Cheryl will forgive them. But Jesus said, if they repent, forgive them.
Yeah, that's right.
Otherwise, you're going to judge them on Judgment Day. I'm looking forward to that, too.
That'll be pretty cool. You've taken good notes, I assume, on all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I shouldn't ask the question, or maybe I can ask it in a way that won't I'll exercise part of my Fifth Amendment privilege or something, and I won't tell the whole story. But let's say you use a paddle to spank your kids. Let's say that someone who we don't even know uses a paddle or a wooden spoon, let's say, to spank their child. Is it, after you've established discipline, you've given a spanking, the child knows what a spanking is it then okay to just get their obedience by showing the spoon or going to get the spoon?
Oh, sure.
Oh, it's okay?
It's absolutely okay.
I thought it might be too soft, that if you pick up the spoon, you got to use it every time or they're not
going to. Oh, I see. Well, it depends. You know, being consistent is so important.
It's so difficult. Oh, incredibly difficult.
Being consistent and not allowing disrespect or disobedience ever. If there's disrespect or disobedience, they get a flick.
Yep.
You know, a little stingy swat.
A pat.
Yeah. Love tap.
A love tap.
Yeah.
Right.
For the social workers listening out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's all very soft and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you don't think that...
Never allow disrespect without consequences.
Right.
Because otherwise you teach them to be disrespectful, and they're not happy.
Well, sometimes they're resistant to your commands.
Spank?
But they're not outright disrespectful.
See, but you got a daughter. I can't handle a daughter.
No?
I said to God, Lord, the boys are cute enough. I can't handle a daughter.
It's tough, Bob.
Don't give me a daughter. I only want boys. We have 7 boys.
Yeah.
How do you spank a daughter? I couldn't even imagine.
It's not fun. It's not. Although I've never done it and I couldn't say, I just say I assume it's not fun.
You've been cursed with a daughter.
You know what it is, Bob? You come home after a long day's work.
Right.
And you want to sit and you want to have a happy 2, 3, 4 hours with your daughter before bedtime.
Yeah.
But she insists on doing something wrong that you know early on is going to ruin the whole evening.
We've noticed we're able usually to undo that by, if you swiftly discipline them, you could turn their attitude around if it's consistent and they know it.
Well,
being consistent is the
most
challenge.
Difficult part. And the thing is you have to change your mindset. Early on in the evening, she does something bad, you're going to have to discipline her. Keep in mind that within minutes, if the discipline is inflicted properly, within minutes after that, it's back to fun time and playtime.
That's exactly
right. And so sometimes it's hard to get over that initial hurdle of, well, I've got to discipline, and then we'll have fun.
All the homeschool Christian families I know that spank their kids are way happier than all the families I've known for my whole 43 years where they don't spank.
Yeah.
Those kids are usually miserable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see examples of them all the time.
My son Josiah lived in New Jersey the last year and a half.
Yeah.
He's 19.
Mm.
And he came back, and we have a 3- and a 5-year-old, his little brothers.
Yeah.
And Josiah and I are trying to have a conversation, and they're running around us. Laughing and like screaming their fool heads off,
sure,
like maniacs.
Right,
and just I could tell Josiah was just at his wit's end. He's not used to this.
Right.
So I said, "Boys, be quiet and go in the other room." And they said, "Oh," and they went in the other room and they played quietly.
Wow.
And Josiah said, "That's amazing. That's so cool." And the boys were perfectly happy.
Yeah.
I would put our kids' happiness up against any liberal parents, kids that don't spank.
Yeah.
Any of them.
What's interesting about this whole thing is this isn't an academic exercise. We're actually going to see the results and the fruits of our labors in the years to come. And we'll be able to compare apples to apples with our kids against the public school hellions.
Here's an instant message from St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Wait, before you read the instant message, we haven't given the phone number. People might want to call. It's 800-836-9278. You can call and participate in the program. 1-800-836-9278.
Well, let's challenge this guy to call in. He's from St. Cloud, Minnesota.
St. Cloud, eh?
We'll give him a special number.
Minnesota?
I'll give him a special number.
Yeah?
Just for Dan in St. Cloud.
Okay.
All right? Whoever he is, we invite him to call in on the hotline. Okay. 303-DAN, write this down. 303-463-1707.
463-1707. That's a 303 area code. That's the secret back door, back
That's
line.
The hotline.
Bat phone number.
Yeah, so we'll see. And then he can make his point.
So you don't want to read his instant message because it's an instant message and it's not
I just encouraged him to call in.
Okay, well, do we want to go on to something else before he calls in? Because I got another a story that's of incredible public import.
Well, he's from Minnesota. They probably have those rotary phones.
Probably
take a couple minutes
to
dial long distance. He's got to talk to the operator.
Okay.
I'm at St. Cloud 78321, and I'm trying to reach Denver, Colorado. Okay, so anyway.
Anyway.
And he's listening on the web, and so we don't know that he actually listened.
He could be on the delay or, you know, depending on how big his buffer is and how much bandwidth he has, he'd be 20 minutes behind us before he calls.
Right.
Maybe 20 more minutes. Anyway, there's Bob, one of the greatest thinkers, one of the greatest minds. One of the most influential and inspirational peoples of my generation is in the news today.
Oh, really?
Sean Penn is in Iraq. Sean Penn.
Oh, brother. I hope he's going to be a human shield.
he's in Iraq, and he's visiting Iraq, Bob, to help us. I don't want to speak for him. Sean Penn in Iraq today said, I would hope that all Americans will embrace information available to them outside the conventional channels. As a father, an actor, a filmmaker, and a patriot, my visit to Iraq...
As a patriot, since they tried to kill a former U.S. president in 1993...
As a patriot, my visit to Iraq is, for me, a natural extension of my obligation... To find my own voice on matters of conscience.
Oh, brother.
Bob, he speaks for my generation. I can feel it. When him and Madonna divorced, it was so tragic for our whole generation, Bob.
And we talked on the show about Saddam giving a base to Abu Nidal, a terrorist group.
Right.
Killed or injured 900 people.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek excursion ship, they killed 9, wounded about a total of 90. The Pan Am hijacking in 1974, was it?
Right.
They tried to blow up the American embassy in Cairo. They bombed the Rome and Vienna airports. Real terrorist group. And Saddam, in 1998, allows them to move to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And Abu Nidal, the founder, just got murdered there a few months ago.
That's right. Well, he died there under suspicious circumstances.
Well, yeah.
I think he was killed.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if the Iraqis killed him or if our guys got him or if it was the Mossad.
Mossad, probably.
It's hard to say. Since nobody knows and no one can be sure, I'm pretty sure it must have been the Mossad.
Yeah.
Because they do the best job at that sort of thing.
That's right.
We'll be right back on Bob Enyart Live, 800-8-ENYART. It's a live commercial right here on Bob Enyart Live, and Bob's got plenty of Bible teaching materials, a plethora of audio, visual, literature, tons and tons of Bible teaching information.
Hey, Doug, from Peoria, Arizona, this email.
Yeah.
Fox News appearance.
Oh, yeah, Fox News.
Pastor Enyart. I'm not used to that, you know?
Well, get used to it.
The guy from Georgia called me Reverend.
Reverend. He asked me if you were a reverend, and I said, you know, I don't know if he's officially a reverend, but...
Well, I was ordained
he's ordained
a minister.
A minister.
Reverend is just...
Is this just, is that just another word for minister, or are there other qualifications?
I've only used that for Al Sharpton.
Reverend's sort of taken on a derogatory tone since Sharpton and Jackson have kind of confiscated.
Al Sharpton, and he's... Al Sharpton is a caricature of Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, he is.
That's what he is.
Hey, Bob, this is a commercial. We're not on the air.
We're not doing a show?
We're not on the air. We're supposed to be doing a commercial for your Bible teaching materials.
We're supposed to tell people to call us up.
And call us up.
Buy our stuff.
Buy the stuff.
And make pledges.
Make pledges to support the program. 1-888-836-9278. Bob, you still offer that book, that package, the Train Up a Child package?
Yeah, we do.
It's great. It's the book by Debbie Pearl.
Michael and Debbie Pearl. Train Up a Child.
Right? And then there's a couple of your sermons directly related to child rearing.
In fact, Tyrant Dad.
Tyrant Dad, yeah.
That's fun.
That's a great one. All kinds of great information on how to raise up kids who aren't depressed and bored all the time and wear their pants down around their knees and all that. Nose rings in their ears, and
you know, if I were king, it would be legal. If you're walking down the street and some teenager's got his underwear sticking out,
yeah,
just to take your belt and whop them right across the butt. That would be legal if I were the king,
Your Honor. It was there. I swatted
in
it.
The proof of you know, you could say that teenager wasn't doing anything wrong. You just assaulted him. The proof will be the welt across his butt.
That's right.
Because if he had his jeans up, he wouldn't have got a welt. So it's proof. And you're automatically, you know, we authorize you to have the authority of a judge and execute judgment.
Right.
On the spot.
On the spot. So this and other bits of wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, are available.
Well, maybe better bits.
Actually, some very valid biblical and sociological advice.
See, we shouldn't always bring up donating.
Yes. No, donate.
At every
please.
Moment.
No, please give. Give till it hurts. 1-888-836-9278.
That was a funny internet commercial. Give to it hurts.
It was an awesome internet commercial. Never Folks heard, on the radio don't know what they're missing.
Never heard that one before at kgov.com, kgov.com. Hey, Doug, I imagine we were talking about something, but here's an email from Peoria, Arizona.
Peoria, Arizona.
I used to live in Peoria.
Really?
Yeah. And, well, I used to live in Arizona. Where? Mesa, worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Apache.
Yeah.
And so here, Pastor Enyart, this is from Gary in Peoria. How does it play in Peoria?
Yeah, well, we'll see, huh?
Well, we'll find out. How did the Fox appearance, that's the subject, Fox appearance,
how did it
play in Peoria?
Yeah.
One word for your appearance on Fox News this evening, bravo.
All right.
Hey, that is a good, that's how you play it in Peoria. You know
what? Killing in Peoria.
Okay, well, Gary said a good thing, and now he's saying a bad thing.
Uh-oh.
Second thing is bad. So he's batting 500. You know, I don't think Mr. O'Reilly is a bad man.
Oh, now there's where we part company, Mr. Peoria.
That's right, Gary. If you're gonna start tuning into this show, you're gonna really have to get your act together, because we don't put up with fans who bat 500. O'Reilly is a liberal.
He's a liberal.
He's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, anti-spanking, anti-death penalty. He's a liberal. And his audience, you know, we have the brightest audience in the country.
Sure, I believe it.
O'Reilly's audience, a good percentage of them, are morons.
Yeah, there's several.
Because they think he's a conservative.
Yeah.
How can you be a conservative if you're against the death penalty, against spanking, pro-abortion, pro-evolution, pro-homosexuality, and you're a Harvard what?
Whatever he is, whatever. You associated with Harvard in just
he
about
graduated,
any way.
Was he a Harvard Law School graduate?
Oh, he couldn't be that bad, Bob.
I don't know. Anyway, okay.
He's pretty bad.
He is a very misguided man on many issues, wrote Gary. Okay, that's good. He's redeeming himself.
All right, he's working it.
He is the type of misguided man who is responsible for the last two, now almost three, generations of ungodly men and women. I agree, Gary. So you just got to take back what you said, that he's not a bad man.
Right. He says he's not a bad guy, and then he lists these faults that
he's just responsible for the last 40 million people going to hell.
Right. How about that?
That's bad.
That's pretty bad. Well, okay. O'Reilly and his ilk, he's not directly responsible. Dan Rather shares some of that, Walter Cronkite as well.
Yeah, they share it.
Yeah.
And the worst is a conservative who's really a liberal.
Yeah.
Because he's the, you know, the fox in the hen house.
Well, it's like Walter Cronkite. He was voted America's most trusted newsman for 15 years in a row back in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
And then I found out when I got into high school that he's this pro-abortion, pro-evolution, total
liberal.
Yeah.
Right. And if I may say, in too many cases, O'Reilly is very unmanly. Huh?
Well, now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
You might want to read through that
wait,
before.
I was misunderstanding.
Okay.
He was saying O'Reilly is responsible for these generations of ungodly men and women.
Yeah.
And if I may say, in too many cases, very unmanly men.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no
right.
kidding.
And not only in general, but in the church. The church is filled with a bunch of.
Feminized.
Right. Yeah. The church has been feminized.
It's sad.
So you do a show and you condemn someone for being wicked, for killing kids, and some guy will call up and say, that's not very loving of you Christian men. It makes me want to just sick.
Yeah, yeah. It's
just,
gross.
You know, people are I just, if I experience any more love, I'm going to throw it.
I'm just going to, yeah, please.
I'm
let
getting
me out.
Nauseated.
Someone open a window.
By all this
too
love
much love
out there.
In this room.
Thanks for your steadfast message of truth, Gary, Peoria, Arizona.
Wow.
All right, Gary.
We're killing in Peoria. That's great.
That's so nice.
So, the O'Reilly appearance, you know, apparently a success.
You know?
And I thought that after you so resolutely disagreed with him on your last appearance that he wouldn't have you back.
Yeah.
So we at least have to give O'Reilly some credit for not ducking you.
That's true.
You know, that's something.
Okay, now I'm emailing back to Gary.
Okay, out in Arizona.
O'Reilly, I'm saying, Gary, thanks. O'Reilly is pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, pro-evolution, anti-spanking.
Get them all in there now. Don't forget
anti-death penalty. And how do I end this? Oh, I know.
But he does believe in vouchers.
I know, I know.
I don't know.
And here's how I end it. Any questions?
So that goes back out.
Yeah.
Because they don't have, I don't know.
And thanks to email, it's instantaneous.
Right.
He has it right now. Oh, wait a minute. Except our account's on AOL.
Uh-oh.
That takes about an extra half a minute.
Take a little while for him to get it.
Yeah. AOL slow.
Hey, Bob, we've got a headline real quick out of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
There's been an explosion in the southeastern Afghan town of Khost.
Mm.
Yeah, two bomb explosions, but casualties. No casualties.
No casualties?
And very little damage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, there's just not much left there to blow up anymore. I mean,
there wasn't much there to start with.
Yeah, a couple of goat shacks.
We were thinking of starting a charity for people to send blades of grass
right.
to Afghanistan.
I remember you pointed that out. 13 straight days of news coverage from Afghanistan and not a single blade of grass.
No grass.
Those poor people.
What's with that? No trees.
No trees, no grass.
They just got these huts of rubble.
Yeah, and it looks like it's parched, hot, and nasty.
What a miserable
existence.
And
in the winter, from what I understand, it's just brutally cold and horrible.
The main reason is they haven't been Christianized.
That's their main problem.
Christianized societies, based on the Bible, prosper the most.
That's
even if they turn against God, still a lot of what they learned benefits them economically.
Right. And even in horrible, terrible weather, Christianized nations are relatively comfortable and air-conditioned.
Oh, yeah. Look at Christian Europe, Christian America.
Mm-hmm. And compare that to Islamic Afghanistan or Sudan.
Yeah, Africa.
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much the whole of Africa.
Yeah.
Interesting point. Let's go to the phones.
All right. In Indianapolis, Neil, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir.
There's a local talk show host here. I just wanted to show a little contrast between different approaches to Jesus Christ.
Okay.
This guy pretends he's a Christian and talks about the good book, and he only knows the 23rd Psalm and John 3:16.
Okay.
But he talks about how important his church is and faith and, you know, big supporter of George W. Bush and everything.
All right.
And I know which church this guy goes to, and I was also in a music store when he yelled a four-letter word pretty loudly, and it was sad, but,
okay.
But a lot of people really appreciate him because of his faith, supposedly.
Yeah.
And so anyway, today, you know, a lot of these talk show hosts like to play Christmas music as their bumper music.
Yeah.
And he was coming out of a commercial. And
let me guess, he played something about Snowman.
No, no, not at all.
All right.
He was playing an excerpt from "O Holy Night."
Oh, all right.
And you know, "Fall on Your Knees," "O Night Divine," the night that Christ was born.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it is.
I love
and
it.
He said, and I was pretty excited about what he was saying. He said, "Long before the King, Elvis Presley named himself the King. This guy has put a corner on the King market."
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And nothing like it before or since.
Wow.
Nat King Cole.
No, come on.
Oh,
he wasn't talking about Jesus.
No, he was talking about Cole? The song. The guy who sang the song.
You know, talk about just taking a song and ruining it forever. You know, in fact, Doug, I remember there's a song that some Christian activist ruined this song for me forever.
Yeah.
What was the song?
Oh, the weather outside.
That's it.
It's frightening.
It's frightful.
Frightful.
But the fire is so delightful. And I remember at a homosexual play in Denver where they were portraying Jesus as a homosexual. The protesters out front, it was cold and snowy, and they were singing that song and they changed the words. I think I remember the words.
Yeah.
You remember, Doug?
I was there, yeah.
How'd it go?
Oh, the homos outside are frightening.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
For they may get struck by lightning.
Right. If it's a homo or a dyke.
Yeah. Let it strike.
All right. That's right. That was a classic.
I remember
a
that.
Christmas classic.
Now, but it was freezing cold, and they were blaspheming
the living God of the universe,
yeah.
And we were very annoyed at that.
And then the homos have their power.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Lord will have his hour. And how
it's
did
a good
it go?
Thing to do on a protest line. When
how did it go after that? Then the
how does it go?
I think I'm going to leave the rest to your imagination. And then the Christians will yell. I forget the rest. All right, so Neil, that was despicable. Let me tell you, a Christian family, we grew up Catholic in New Jersey. And we left just to avoid any kind of weird stuff going on with any priests.
Got out right before that Shanley
just
guy took. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and we became Christians, born again, Bible reading Christians. And we had a friend, a family that they became Christians too, and they were Catholic, going to a local Catholic church. And the final straw for them was when they got the bulletin at church.
Yeah.
Whatever they call that.
Yeah, the weekly.
The Catholics
bulletin.
Call it something else.
Well, I don't know.
Whatever they call it.
I'm uncatechized.
Anyway, on the back, it said, it was Christmas. It said, "Come unto me, all ye children." And it was a picture of Santa Claus.
Oh, he had a cat at the church.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so they said, you know what? That's it. That was a very wealthy family, too.
Wow.
They said, we're out of here. We're looking for a Bible church.
Well, you hear what's happening with the Catholics. They're losing a lot of cash over this.
Well, yeah. Bernard Laws now resigned in Boston.
But church-wide, nationwide, the American Catholic Church is in trouble.
And some bishops have already resigned because of accusations.
Good.
And he's the most powerful one.
Now we could just arrest them.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you very much,
appreciate
Bob.
Your call, Neil. And in Maybank, Texas, Tom, we're about out of time.
Oh, Bob, I just want to let you know that if Trent had read the Bible, God told Lot not to look back.
You're right.
Amen.
That would have saved his whole career.
Well, nice job, Tom. Maybank, Texas. He's good.
Yeah, that was good.
Anyway, I do appreciate you clearing up at least some of the issues with Lot. We'll get back to some of the others at another time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the main point, you can't go living in Sodom and think it's not going to rub off on you, Mr. Lot.
That's right. Go to a wicked city.
It's good, yep.
You go to a wicked city, it's going to mess you up, probably.
Yep.
And Washington, D.C., you can't get more wicked.
No.
Look at the crime in the capital.
In the capital
it's
city.
It's just, Washington, D.C. is like going to hell.
Yeah.
That's that line of that song.
Whoa, no.
Just remember the last line of that song.
And then all the Christians yell.
Well, never mind.
I remember
Washington,
now.
D.C. is like going to hell. And, you know, the capital of almost every state, capital city of every state is like the crime center of the state.
Well, perfect
What does that
example.
Tell you about the government? Thanks, Doug.
Tells you the truth about the government.
Appreciate it. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.